thank you guys so much for being here this morning. My name is Micah Seth. I am the youth minister here. And whether you are here in person or whether you are online, we just thank you so much for being here this morning as we are continuing through the book of Proverbs. I'm not sure how many of you guys follow us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever you guys use, TikTok, I don't know. But we've been going through a proverb a day since August has 31 days and Proverbs has 31 chapters. So if you don't follow us on social media, definitely check that out as we kind of post each day, just kind of a reminder, different devotions, videos, different things like that, just to keep you guys engaged and kind of continue through Proverbs with us. So today is August 15th, so we're going to be going through Proverbs 15th. There you go. But before we start, I kind of wanted to share a little story to kind of tie into this message this morning. So this past week, I took the middle schoolers to find John B. in the Outer Banks as we went like on our middle school retreat. It was a lot of fun. We had a great team that went out there, a great group of volunteers, great group of students. It was a lot of fun, but there was one issue. Whenever we were looking at the weather before we left, it was like a 90 to 100% chance of rain. But kind of being confident living in eastern North Carolina, I wasn't super worried just because it can change within an hour. But I was a little overconfident because it did rain 90 to 100% of the time. Which wasn't the end of the world. You got middle schoolers, so they're fearless. And we still went out into the ocean even though it was raining. Just no thunder and lightning, which was perfect. But there was one issue with the rain and with the storm that came through is that the currents were like strong. It was one of those kind of storms where you go into the water and after like 5 minutes you drift like south, you know, 50 yards, and then you have to get out and keep walking back, and it was just like this ongoing cycle. And so a little bit about me with that whole current thing, it reminded me of something, is I used to lifeguard in Virginia Beach, like for the beaches out there, which was a lot of fun, kind of whenever I was younger. It was one of those things that I just enjoyed doing every summer. But whenever you think of beach lifeguarding, usually one thing comes to mind, and that's Baywatch, right? Not promoting the movie, but just saying. And so in Baywatch, there's like a lot going on, you know? Like, there's running in slow motion. There's, like, all these explosions. You're saving people left and right. You know, there's shark attacks here. Like, you just kind of, whenever I thought of beach lifeguarding as a kid, I was like, man, it's going to be great. It's going to be crazy. Like, it's going to be a lot of fun. And so as we kind of trained, like, went through that whole training season of being a lifeguard, we went through every single, like, what-if scenario or any possible situation that could ever happen. Like, it was training. We probably trained for about a month. And like it was every day that we had to it was awesome, but it was definitely intense. Like we went through, you know, like heart attacks, if somebody had a spinal injury in the water, somebody passed out, somebody got sucked out in a rip current, whatever the case was, we had like jet ski training, we had police boat training, we had paddle board training, we had all these different things. And what was funny is like there were definitely a few rescues that I made, whether it was like somebody getting sucked out in a rip current or it was like high tide and they walked out a little too far and dropped off the sandbar and weren't like a great swimmer. Or one of my favorites is there was a group of five kids. I say kids, they were probably my age at the time, but a group of five, probably high schoolers, that bought one of those like $200, you know, like the giant flamingo things that you can get at Target. And they didn't take current into consideration. So whenever they put that thing in, we just watched it go all the way out. So we had to go out there and bring them back in, which was funny. But one thing that we were trained for that I didn't think that I needed to use as much as I did was finding lost children. I don't know how many of you guys have ever lost your kid at the beach, but it happens a lot, like a lot more than you would think. And so what would happen was, is kind of the same thing with the middle school retreat. A kid would walk into the water, there was current, and so like usually whenever they walk into the water, mommy and daddy are right here, there's this umbrella right here, there's this canopy. Then they drift like 10 or 15 yards. And even though they could probably still see them if they looked, like when they got out of the water, everything was completely different. And so usually they'd start crying, but typically every time they knew to go to the lifeguard stand. And so what we would do, the kid would kind of come up, he was all crying, like I can't find mom and dad. We'd always be like, beat it, kid, I'm doing my job. No, what we would do is we'd grab the kid and we'd put him on top of the lifeguard stand. And we'd kind of say, hey, can you spot them? Can you see mom or dad? Can you see an umbrella that looks familiar? Whatever the case is, they would look. Most of the time, they couldn't see it. But what we would do is we'd get off the lifeguard stand. We'd kind of walk to the shoreline, the shore break, and we'd walk up and down the beach until, like, mom or dad said, like, oh, there's my kid walking with a lifeguard. Like, I should probably should go get him. But it was so interesting and so fascinating to me that most of the time, the kids knew to go to the lifeguard. It made my job easier for sure. But after thinking about it, it had everything to do with like my uniform, with what I was wearing. Like no kid came up to me because my name was Micah and was asking for help. They would do it because I was wearing red shorts. I was sitting in a lifeguard stand. I had zinc all over my face. But it was funny because with the uniform, with the red shorts, to most people, it was like a symbol of experience or of training or safety or just kind of assurance that we were going to help. So most kids would like recognize that and know that, you know, that they could trust us and go to us. And kind of tying that into this message this morning, in John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus says that we as Christians have a uniform, something that we wear, something that we carry that shows the world and shows others that we are followers of Christ, that we are Christians. And that uniform is love. And so John 13, 34 through 35 says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And today we're going to be going through Proverbs 15, which touches on like a few different topics or a few different ideas. But the one that I wanted to focus on was the tongue, was our words, the power of our words. And more of, are we allowing our tongue to be a uniform to others to let them know that we are disciples, that we are followers of God, and that you can trust in us and come to us because we are a people that see past any boundary that you put in front of us, that we're going to love you no matter what you do. Or in other words, I ask the youth group students this all the time. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this expression, but when people find out that you're a Christian, are they surprised? Whether it comes from you or somebody else saying it, like when people look at you, do they see that uniform? When you're comforting someone or when somebody wrongs you or is unfair or an unjust and you don't blow up at them, but rather you practice discipline and self-control and just love towards them? Or when people are gossiping around you, do you continue to gossip with them? Or are you kind of like, nah, this isn't right. They're not here. We shouldn't be talking about them. If you have an issue with them, why don't you go talk to them? Like that's not what we should do. Do people see that uniform that you wear as a Christian? And so I wanted to pray super quick as we kind of dive into Proverbs 15 together, and then we'll continue together. But God, I just thank you for today. I just thank you for just this moment of worship. I just pray as we go into your word that just your truth is known and just that it speaks volumes to us. I just pray for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read Proverbs 15, 1 through 4. And it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of the fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." And so as we kind of start into Proverbs 15, I wanted to do a little exercise, see how awake you guys are. What I wanted to do is I wanted to start a saying, like a saying that we all kind of heard growing up as kids or you still use as a parent. And I'm going to start it and I want you guys to finish it. All right, so first one, treat others the way that you. Money doesn't grow on. Hay is for.
Horses.
I double dog.
Dairy.
Nice. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's something that we either heard as a kid or we used as a kid to kind of like offset the, you know, the thing that was said to us that kind of hurt us. But the reality is that statement is so funny to me because of how untrue it is. Like we hear it growing up all the time, but I've broken numerous bones, mainly my ankles. I've broke them all the time because I played volleyball a lot and I just had weak ankles. But I've been in and out of casts or, you know, like little boots or whatever, and I'm more or less healed from them. But there are still things that people have said to me that keep me up at night, things that people have said to me that have left wounds and scars in my heart that I haven't let go of. On the other side, there are things that people have said to me that I think about that uplift me, words that people have used to encourage me that I just haven't forgotten. Like words are powerful. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will either encourage, uplift, scar, or break me. That should be the saying. But words will always stick with me. I feel like we can forget the power of our words. Mainly, we forget the power of our words when we're stuck behind a screen, when we're not looking at someone face to face. Like, the funny thing is, I could say one sentence right now and completely motivate all of you. You guys could go home, write it on your mirror, so every time you wake up, you're just like, you know, you look at that and you're like, that's my motivation for the day, or whatever. Or I could say one sentence and just have you in tears, make you want to leave the church, just like completely break the spirit. And we forget how powerful these words are. Because the thing about words is they form our everyday life. Think about it like this. The reason why most of you are married is because of the words that you say or didn't say. Like when you went on that first date, it started with the form of the question. Some of you guys, it looked like this, where you're like, hey, yo, girl. Sheesh, you looking fine. Some of you guys use that pickup line where you're like, are your feet tired? Because you've been running through my mind all day. You trying to go grab a movie or whatever. If any of you guys, by the way, if any of you guys ever did that or used that and you got the girl, like, I salute you. That takes courage. But to go on that first date, it started with words. You didn't just stare at them and you're like, all right, I guess we're dating. It's like you start with communication, with words. And then your likeness to them grew into love as you use words to understand and communicate with each other. And then just with two words, you went from dating to a lifelong commitment that changed your life and your relationship for the better. What are those two words?
I do.
Just with two words, completely changed your relationship. The reason you have a job is because of things that you said or didn't say in your interview. Your opinion of someone starts with the words that they use around you. Whether you like them or not, it's based on the words that they say. And Proverbs 15 goes through the power that these words have and the power of them when you use them correctly or when you don't. And verse 1, going back to verse 1, says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Basically, you're in an argument. Somebody made you mad. You know, you feel like something's unfair. You kind of get upset. You kind of have two options. Whether it's with your family or friends or coworker or whatever, you have two options. You either A, try to de-escalate the situation by the tone of your voice or like what you're saying, whether it's an apology or just kind of like, hey, let's take a breather. I'm getting mad. You're getting mad. Let's think. Let's not just talk without thinking. Like, let's take a breather. Let's regather. Or it's like, I care about you, but let's settle this a different way. Like, I can tell we're getting angry, but I care about you and I don't want to hurt you in any way. Whatever the case is. People see that uniform. People see those red shorts. People will see the words that stand, and it stands out to them. They'll question like how you have self-control or self-discipline when it comes to your words and when it comes to love. Option B, always a fun one, always an easy one, is saying like, it's your fault, not mine. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go away. You cuss them out. Or we tend to get personal with our words. And we tend to bring up something from their past or an insecurity that they have to intentionally hurt them that has nothing to do with the argument. We just know it'll get it like under their skin. It stirs up anger. And it's not the mark of someone who loves. Speaking of arguments, who likes Facebook? Right? Like Facebook can be either really good or really bad. Depending on what you get on your feed, I say Facebook because I'm not sure how many of you guys are on TikTok, but it's the same thing for TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Twitter is just slander, but like all these different things. But Facebook can be toxic. Like I had to unfriend some of you guys. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I didn't unfriend any of you guys. But Facebook is full of people arguing just for the sake of arguing. Like we all have opinions, and I believe in that. Like, we're all entitled to our opinions and different things like that. But calling Bob on Facebook an idiot because he doesn't understand the mechanics of nuclear energy or whatever, like something that has no relevance, or getting mad at somebody because they don't know the difference between jam or jelly, I don't know. Like, people get mad over little things. It's so wild to me. People will hop on other people's backs of people that they've never met. And they feel like an argument online is going to change anyone's opinion. It's not. If anything, it's going to make them feel more entitled to their opinion and just escalate the situation. It's not a mark of someone who loves, but rather a soft or a gentle answer turns away wrath. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of the fools pour out folly. Basically, the tongue, or our words, of the wise does well by knowledge. This chapter also references, like there's a lot of different references within this chapter of these first four verses. And this verse is kind of a reference to verse 7, chapter 15, verse 7, where it says, the lips of the wise spreads knowledge, not so the heart of the fools. The words of the wise makes knowledge like appealing. It makes it desirable for other people. It makes them want to listen more to what you have to say because you think before you speak. You're not just rambling on about something. You're quick to listen and you're slow to speak. And this verse is also a reference to verse 28, chapter 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And when kind of reading these verses, these three verses that kind of all have the same idea, two things came to mind. One, how many of you guys are verbal processors? No one, just me. I'm the only one that thinks out loud. Anyways, but this reminded me kind of how fun, but also dangerous it is to be a verbal processor. It's fun because neither me or anyone else I'm around knows what I'm going to say next. Like, there are so many times where I'll just say something without thinking. I'm like, oh, I probably should not have said that. Like, it keeps me on the edge of my seat. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, how many random thoughts or words are going to offend someone today? Like, one example, and I asked them if I could say this. This was so awkward. But this actually happened a few days ago. I was talking with a student, and I had just saw her post on Instagram. And it was, like, with her family. They were all, like, smiling and, like, dressed super nice. And I was like, oh, like, that's awesome. And so next time I saw her, I was just like, oh, like, I saw your post. Like, how was the wedding? And not really thinking about it, her response was, that wasn't a wedding. That was my grandma's funeral. And I was like, oh. And kind of after she said that, I was like, let me go back to that post. And, like, at the very last sentence, it says, like, we'll love you forever, grand. And I was like, oh, no. And of course, I apologized. I called her. I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know. But my mouth or my words, without me thinking before speaking, has gotten me into some binds with my relationships with people. And this verse is a reminder that not only do our words have power, but the wise think before they speak. No matter how witty or funny or sarcastic you think your response is, we need to be continuously asking ourselves, like, is this response, knowing that I'm probably going to hurt them, worth a couple laughs, like, around people? Like, is this response worth it? Or am I going to hurt someone with this answer? That was the first thing. Think before you speak. Second was gossip. Those who are wise commend knowledge. They ponder how to answer. The fools pour out evil things. Gossip, to put into short words, is casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people. Or at least that's what Google says. It's basically speaking negatively or spreading rumors about other people, sharing personal stories or information that just shouldn't be like shared. It's not your right to share it. And the Bible speaks a lot about this topic. The Bible lays out the importance of not gossiping, because most of us have found gossiping destroys relationships. It separates close friends. And what's funny is those aren't my words. That comes straight out of the literal next chapter in Proverbs. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and gossip separates close friends. And as Christians, we're called to just not talk about them if it's negative. You know, it's one of those things, like, let's say I have a problem with Dave, which would never happen because I love Dave. But let's say I have a problem with Dave, and I talk to Greg or the Emilys about it without Dave there. And I kind of say something like, I can't believe Dave said that. I can't believe Dave was wearing that, whatever. Their perspective, Greg and the Emilys' perspective of Dave changes without Dave even being there to defend himself or kind of, it's like a one-sided story, right? And so gossip is dangerous. And the Bible hits on that so much. Gossip is one of those sins that I feel like we just let go so easily. Like, we overlook gossiping so much because it's fun. And sometimes we don't even know that we're gossiping, but we're gossiping. Like gossip it's enjoyable, not only because you get to put someone down that you might not like, but it's not confrontational at all. Like you could say whatever you want about that person without the fear of them hopping on you. It helps with insecurities that you may face to make yourself feel better. It lets out anger or a grudge that you might have over them. Like it's great, but it's not the mark of someone who loves. It's not the mark of somebody who's wearing that uniform. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Verse 3 comes, basically, verse 3 is, to some people, a good thing or a bad thing. It's a reminder that God, you know, the God that we serve, watches over us. He watches over the wicked, the people that use their words to bring other people down, and this verse should be like a warning to them. But those that use their words to uplift, people that use their words in a wise and commendable way, should be comforted by the truth of what verse 3 is saying. Verse 4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Verse 4 says that we can either encourage or we can depress someone. If we encourage others, we use words that heal, that contribute to someone's, you know, mental health. It's said in Proverbs that it's like a tree of life. But on the flip side, those that use their words to bring someone down, like slander or gossip or whatever, is said to be something that crushes the spirit. But what's funny is there might be something that that you might have said in your past. It could have been a year ago, could have been a month ago, could have been today. Something that you might have said that you don't remember. It was kind of like in passing, whether it was like a comment or like a remark or whatever. You kind of said something. Then you kind of let that go. To the person you said it to, they haven't stopped thinking about it. Our words have power. But thinking about our words, thinking about our mouth, we're not just talking with no like knowledge. They have to have a source. Like our words have to come from somewhere. We can use nasty words crushing someone's spirit, or we can use words to encourage people, be a tree of life. But they got to come from somewhere. And as I read this last verse, I'm going to ask the band to come up. And another section of verses, this is kind of like a side note, another section of verses that speaks heavily on the tongue, that speaks heavily on our words, is James chapter 3. If you guys haven't read it, we're not really going to go through that today, but James chapter 3, it's just got a lot of different analogies, got a lot of different, you know, it's a great read if you're more interested on this topic. But the last verse I wanted to read comes straight from the words of Jesus. In the book of Luke, where he talks about where our words come from, the source of our words. Luke 6, 43 through 45 says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Whatever. But I really want to key in on this next verse, verse 45. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings up evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The troubles that you face when it comes to the way that you use your words, whether you have words that are angry and you just get frustrated so easily, or you cuss easily, or you insult easily, that's not a mouth issue. That's a heart issue. In order to address the issue of your words, you need to address the issue of the source. You need to address your heart. Because when you think about it, when you think about the source, when you think about your heart, why are some people so easy to judge? Like, it just comes natural for you to just like see someone that you've never met and be like, look at that skirt or whatever. Like, you just judge them in your head all the time. Maybe it's because you were judged your whole life on everything. You might have felt like a disappointment to your parents, and you judge others because you were judged so harshly growing up. God didn't want that for you. It stinks. We need to acknowledge our broken words from our broken heart. Something is wrong with the heart. Why are some so easily angered? Maybe you didn't have a voice for the longest time. Whether you were silenced at home or in school or at work, people just kept talking over you. So when you get into an argument, you get angry. You become aggressive or authoritative because you didn't have that voice growing up. And now that you do, you use it in a negative way. Something's wrong with the heart. Why do we gossip? Like I said earlier, it could be because of an insecurity that you have, or you feel like an outcast at times. So gossiping is your source of feeling included. You're just like, give me the tea. Of feeling loved and heard by others. There's something wrong with the heart. Why do we complain? Maybe it's because you feel like things are unfair. You feel disrespected. You have to gain respect because you feel like nobody respected you when you were in school. Nobody respected you when you were at home. Nobody respected you when you were at work. So you complain because you feel like people are attacking you. And Jesus is saying that our words represent our heart. If there's brokenness in your words, there's brokenness in your heart. And as I wrap up, I was trying to think of an application, something to kind of help you like bring something home with. But the fact of the matter is, like our words, our tongue is so hard to tame. And James goes into that, but it's nearly impossible. So I don't have like three steps of like, here are the three things that you can do to talk better, how to not get angry. But the one thing that I want to leave you with is, where is your heart? If you were to think about the words that you use on a daily basis, whether it's in the car, some of you guys are up here praising God's name, and then once you get on Noose Boulevard, you're flipping everybody off, and you're just like, get out of my way, I gotta go to lunch. Just like 5 minutes ago, you were praising God. Or with your family and friends, or at work, or at church. Where are those words coming from? The heart. And if you feel like your words get you into trouble, I would challenge you to look deeper than just your mouth. Look into your heart. But I don't want this sermon to end as like a negative one. I want this to be a positive one, a reminder that our words have power and our words can bring life. And I don't want people to miss out on this opportunity to help others, to bring the word of God, to be a light to those who need it because they have a broken heart. Because we use broken words. We serve a God that heals, a God that loves, a God that is slow to anger, that is slow to speak and quick to listen to us, a God that breaks barriers. So I want us to remember that our words have power. The uniform of love that we wear when we are marked as Christians comes from our words, comes from our heart. And we should be excited that we serve a God that gives us a voice, that gives us power in what we say. But with that, we need to be asking ourselves constantly, are we being a tree of life? Or are we a people that breaks the spirit? Let's pray. God, I just thank you for today. I just thank you for just the power of words that you give us. But God, I just pray not only for our words, but I just pray for the source. God, I just pray that we're able to look into that, that you help us find brokenness, and God, that healing just starts today. That we don't push this off, that we don't want to dwell on the past, but God, that we realize that our words have power. And the source needs to come from you and a healthy heart. And I just pray that you're able to heal where there needs to be healing. And God, that we leave here today just with more thought in mind with how we use our words. In Jesus' name, amen.